The following podcast is a part of RadioMisfits.com.
Welcome to Misfits Making It. We're oddballs and we're doing cool stuff. I'm your host, Lauren Lojudice. This is the podcast version of the comedy shows I host around New York City and the road, the Misfit Variety Show, and all the shows at the Capiche Club Misfit Comedy Space down in Little Italy. How's it going? What's up in your Misfit world? I feel so accomplished right now. I figured out that now when we recorded this Mad Masquerade podcast episode, I could not get my podcast microphone to work. And I'm thinking, damn, it's like, you know, there's so many things that can go wrong in the podcast microphone to computer connection. Is it the microphone itself? Is it maybe the wire from the mixer to the computer, to the microphone, to the mixer? Who knows? And then I'm futzing around with it to do this intro and I realized it was the on button. Yes, there's a little on-off button on this microphone I have here, and that was the raise it. I feel so accomplished. It's like when you find those little tech problems that are really just tech hiccups and you blame the equipment, and really it's just your incompetence. So I overcame it and I feel incredibly accomplished today. I am trying to give myself credit for lots of little things because I'm going into some very big things coming up. I have the Misfit Variety Show, which is going to be in Philadelphia, September 15th. So come on out to Punchline Comedy Club. We have an incredible lineup, Betty Jane Sisonian, Steve Clark, Nicole Spain, and special guest Culture Magazine. You're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be so fun, and I'm debuting this crazy intro number in which a pie gets put in my face. So watch out for it. Then Brooklyn Art House, we have the Mad Masquerade. The Misfit Variety Show is part of that. The double feature night. There's going to be lots more information coming up because we have my co-producers on today to talk about that experience. It's going to be so new. Horns up for that. And then I'm going into crowdfunding for a film that I produce called Honestly. It's a short film about a woman who thinks she's a Viking. It's an absurd comedy because, yes, of course it is. So I'm so excited for that and nervous as fuck. Oh my God, it's a new thing for me. It's the first time I'm leading a crowdfunding effort. I had my ex-partner and I had done a few crowdfunding. Did we do crowdfunding for both? I think we just did crowdfunding once together and she was a nightmare. And so I'm so excited to be able to do this alone and with positive intention and a positive team and excellent people around me. I can't wait. And also I'm incredibly nervous about it. Yes. So, that's coming up starting Monday, I hope. We have one more edit to do. I'm working with some friends to help edit the video, and we need an edit in within the next like 45 minutes so we can get this thing approved and get started Monday, but I haven't gotten it yet. So it's a little bit unnerving, but I feel good about it. I feel good. I feel like it's a little bit of like a moment of truth. Like, is anyone going to bite? Like all of this intense preparation for months for this crowdfunding campaign. Is it going to work? That's where I'm on the side of the maybe. It's like you've prepared for war. How will it be weighed? I don't know. But I do know is that I've definitely given it the good old effort. So that feels very good. So that's how it's going in my Misfit world. Anticipation. I'm on the crux of a lot of things. And time will tell how it all goes down. Now, a reminder to you, before I go into our fun Misfit melodrama today, a reminder to rate and review the podcast because social proof is super important for Misfits. Misfits trust other Misfits to know what's good. You could sign up at laurenloji.com and you could sponsor a podcast too. It's another way to support us. We make it accessible for individuals or companies to sponsor an episode, and that means we're going to put it out more often. You can go on laurenloji.com and click on Listen Podcast and contact us there to talk about it. All right, today we are interviewing Jeff Quintana, The Powerful Comedy, and Matthew Silver of The Idiot's Hour. Matthew Silver, you might know him for he was in Union Square for years doing performance art, and now he's taken to the clown stage, and we're excited to have him. They both produce The Idiot's Hour, and I thought, what two better crazy people to have come riff on audience-submitted stories than these two idiots? And I say that because we all call ourselves idiots because we are clowns. So we're here. Let's go right into it. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Mad Masquerade that's going on September 28th at Brooklyn Art House. And you'll get to know a little bit about how much they are lunatics. Enjoy. All right. Hello. Hello. Welcome to Miss It's Making It. I have here Jeff Quintana and Matthew Silver of Idiot's Hour, and we're gonna do some misfit melodrama for you. But first, we're gonna talk a little bit about Mad Masquerade, this mad show collaboration between Idiot's Hour and Misfit Variety Show. So, what are we doing in Mad Mask? What are we hoping people are gonna see and feel at Mad Masquerade?
An immersive comedy renaissance.
Yes. It's a full night of performance. It starts at 7, and then the Misfit Variety Show is at 7:30, and Idiot's Hour is at 9:30, right? It starts at 9:30. And yeah. In between and before and after, there's going to be a DJ and performance art and artists and a dress-up booth, and it's going to be super wild.
Yeah, and I think our big goal for this thing is to, like, show people another side of performing that's happening in the city. There is, like, we were just talking about it right before the call started, but, like, the clown movement, and, like, clowns are not just, like, makeup and, you know, whatever, walking around honking a horn with big shoes. Like, this is like an old art form that's like now having this big resurgence and like modernizing itself, which I think is very cool for all of us to be a part of.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just thriving right now. So yes, I'm very excited.
So I think that that's great. I mean, for us, it's going to be like this... we want it to become a larger festival. I mean, Matthew wants it to happen every single day, all the time. I think we start, here with these two shows, and then maybe it starts happening every day, all the time, and we start having it almost be a festival that people come from all over the place to just be a part of, year-round. That would be amazing,
Right, and then I feel like people will evolve. I mean, that's a long goal, but that's what I'm inspired, seeing all this immersive art, it'll do things to the fucking brain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think we want to see people connect. I mean, that's the main thing. I think for all of us, it's just like getting offline and getting on life, like actually being with people and like connecting together. And like a lot of our performers that we all get and the performers that we are about like connecting with the room and, and then not in like the crowd work, movement where it's just like, where are you guys from?
Yeah.
You guys together? These people are fucking like, no.
Yep.
It's like something a little bit more beautiful, a little bit more joyful at times. It could still have its sadness and stuff, just like any performance. But I do think it tends to have a style more connected to play than just comedy.
Yeah. Bravo.
Absolutely. And I think both of our shows do that in different ways. At the Misfit Variety Show, we do a lot of like different types of performance, and there's like a storyteller and a clown and a stand-up and a special guest, like some nerd who's going to come talk to us about stuff. And then we end up doing an audience share a bit, and it's a beautiful way to just come together in a different, but it is around the spirit of play. Everyone is, that's a great way. That's it. Maybe this is the thing. This is the, we found it.
What? The spirit of play?
Maybe that's the way to describe this. It's about the spirit of play.
But yeah, I do. I love I think the next level of performer is happening right now. I think people are not going to be able to just be put in any single box. They're going to do a bunch of different things. And it's like, maybe
lock the box.
Yeah. Play. Like they break from it. And we want to see it like, you know, like I think everyone's going to start enjoying because people are bored. I could tell people are like, when they come to these shows, they're so surprised. Like we had a, we just did a show at this Idea Glass Studios place on the weekend. And one of my friends who's a stand-up told his cousin to come and didn't tell him anything about what he's going to see. He just goes, yeah, oh, what shows are going on this weekend? And this guy assumed, because his cousin does stand-up, that he was going to watch stand-up. And then instead, he saw the Idiot's Hour, you know. But when he said that, he's like, yo, this was wild, you know, and not what we expected, but we loved it. You know, and that to me is what can happen. That's like,
and I think that's what you guys are doing too. You're doing beyond like what people might expect, even for my like a clown show. Like it's, you guys are breaking. It's not necessarily a traditional clown show. It's like really just breaking the button. And the same thing with the Misfit Variety Show. Like I can't book, like there's a very specific type of stand up I can book. Like it has to be someone who it works the best when they're ready to like go there and be vulnerable and like share shit and just like, but in a way that they're ready to like play with the audience. Yeah. It doesn't work. The boundary.
Yeah. I think the best, I mean, honestly, the best stand ups are clowning, whether they know it or
totally.
Not.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm someone that, like, again, I didn't really know what the word clown meant until I moved to New York. And then everybody was like, you're clowning. And I was like, very good. I was just doing this at stand-up clubs. And people would go, that guy's the weird guy. You know, that was all I knew I was. So whatever. So maybe I'm in this. But I don't even self-identify as such a thing. But I'm like, all right, whatever. If it works, it works. And like, whatever I'm doing. I just like what I'm doing. So call it what you like.
Wait, but, what is it like at the top of the mountain? It's all the same.
Well, somebody told me once, this was an old, I mean, improv thing, but they were just like, when I was talking about, we were like, did you study at this school? You study at that school? You study this modality, that modality? And somebody just came up and they were just like, look, all this is just a Mexican food, right? And some people were taking the same ingredients, we make a burrito. We take the same ingredients, we make a taco. We take the same ingredients, we make a quesadilla. And you can call them whatever you want, but in the end, the core is still the same. You know?
Yes. Total. Total. Hell yes. Okay. Cool. So what is, let's go to a misfit moment, a misfit story here. These are submitted by the audience. If you too would like to submit a story, you can, 646-WANG-0X1 is the hotline to leave a message with a story. So this was an audience member submitted a story. This is a standout moment where you felt like a misfit, whether it was with your family or in the world at large. What makes that moment stand out to you? And this person said, and I don't look at them before, at a family function, I mentioned to my mother, you used to be white trash, right? Apparently I was the only one that didn't understand what white trash meant. Whoops.
Wow.
Okay.
It's a great moment.
Well, yeah, it's good to, oh, she didn't even know what white trash meant. So she wasn't even.
Right. She just was like, yeah, mom, you used to be white trash.
They didn't know that it was offensive to themselves, which I.
Right. Because like, you're the kid.
Being like, you know, like, oh, mom, we were six, you know, and my mom being like, what are you saying? Right. So. I can feel that. Yeah. I can feel where that would be highly embarrassing, especially with the reaction right away.
Yeah. I don't know. As Italian, I didn't realize I went into college and someone was from Boston and they started calling me a WOP. They're like, oh, your people are WOPs. I was like, what? What is it without paper? That's what they would call the Italians.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got pennies thrown at me.
Aww.
What?
I know kids who got pennies thrown at them. Yeah, that's so funny.
Well,
I thought it was funny at the time. I would get the penny. I would take the penny.
Wow, that's why you've been there.
Ooh, I got it on heads.
I think we all ended up performing because we took those moments that were really horrible, and we were just like, yeah. This is fine. We're all fine. This is fine.
Everything's great. It's great.
Yeah.
That's what we did. Okay, here's another one. Okay. The pastor divided the Sunday school class. I toured in the Midwest, by the way, so there was a lot of people were shamed about a lot of things. So anyway, this the pastor divided. The shame is deep, is what I'm saying, in the Midwest, about small things sometimes. The pastor divided the Sunday school class in two. One side believes in God. The other had to argue against it. I was on the argue against. When finishing, the pastor called my mom to see if I really believed in God. I did 100%. I'm just a really good debater.
I love just wanting to win just because.
Yeah. Like, fuck God. I'm going to just... Also, get your fucking business out of their... Your head out of people's business, pastor. It's like a safe space in class for people to be able to debate. And then he, like, takes over and calls the mom.
Well, it was always strange. I went to an all-boys Catholic school. So, like, you know, it was always strange that we had a philosophy class.
Right? Oh, yeah. It's like anti-religion, right?
Yeah, we would be there in the philosophy class. And, of course, everybody's like, but God is real, right? And then it's like, well, what is God? And then all of a sudden a priest would come in, God is real. I was like, right, so I guess if we're not having this conversation, we'll just move on.
Is that when you were like, maybe I'll be a priest?
Well, oh, yeah, I was definitely in a very, very religious point in my life. So I'm sitting there listening to this going like, what is this man speaking of? There is only truth here. Everything these guys tell us is correct. You know, so and I found very quickly that, yeah, anything anyone tells you that there's completely they're like, this is correct. Is probably not correct.
Incorrect.
We don't fucking know.
Nothing is really correct, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like until, like I keep saying it, until, you know, aliens come or a giant ham appears from the sky and like grabs me and takes me away. That's the only way everybody's going to be like, oh, but even then, if it's not long enough, people will be like, well, I don't know. What big hand was that? You know, that could have been any big hand. Is that just a...
Yeah. Is it from the government? Yeah. Is it the government big hand?
And the big hand? You know? So, I don't know. Humans are, especially at this point with like AI and everything, like nobody believes anything anyway. There's nothing that anyone believes. You know? But that's why I think to really look around,
there's nothing.
Why... These live experiences matter so much more now. You know, that we were all here, you know?
Right. There's another one. This is another one I just pulled, and it's so sad that they feel shame. They feel like a misfit. They shave their head for a dare.
Oh.
And that's their misfit moment. I feel sad for that. I mean, I shave my head, and man, I got a lot more pussy that way. That's fun, right? That was helpful. But. I shaved my head to be more gay, and that was very helpful for the ladies. But
that helped you, like, clean, that helped you feel more accepted in that for whatever reason.
Oh my God, you shave your head, you're like, got girls crawling on you like the next day. Yeah. That's great.
It didn't work for me, I'll tell you this.
Is my mic on?
What?
Is my mic on?
Yeah, your mic.
Matthew Silver doesn't know that he's part of the podcast.
Am I on the podcast?
Say something.
I think my volume is lower than everybody else's.
Well, I can hear you fine, and I'm on my turn.
We'll fix it in post, as they say, Matthew.
All right.
But what do you want to say? You should say stuff.
I did say stuff.
All right, good. This is good. Why do I talk? But I did. I shaved my head once because... I don't know. I was going through a time that I really wanted to just like not be how I was or whatever. And I was like very overweight at the time as well. So I was just like, I need change and transformation, something. So whatever. So I shaved my head and whatever. And everybody was more scared of me. Like I looked very mean, you know, for whatever reason. So I didn't like that because like whatever. I think some people thrive on that. You know, they like that people are like, ooh, I'm scared of that guy. But I was just like, no, look, I'm a nice person. And they're like, get away from me.
You're like, ah, it's a scam.
Yeah. So I definitely am less aggressive looking with this beautiful.
Yes.
I shaved my head in the middle.
You're a nice swab.
So I look bald.
I remember.
What?
I remember because when I first met you, it was still growing back a little bit.
Oh, and yeah.
Now you're starting to regain your unicorn.
Yeah, my little unicorn. But I'm balding, see?
Oh.
Aww.
It's thinning.
I don't know.
Well, Matthew, have you ever just, you have a lot of hair. Have you ever just shaved it all off?
Yeah. I shaved it all off. I looked like, well, I'm not going to say that, but I shaved it all off.
But what did you look like?
Oh, I know what he's meaning to say, but he doesn't.
Yeah, I don't have to say it. You guys can know, but I didn't intend to look that way.
Yes.
I mean, I'm Jewish.
Wow.
Okay.
He's talking about
slaves or something.
Mystery X.
Okay. All right.
I feel like I'm delayed or something.
We should do this more often. I have enjoyed this experience. Right.
That's sarcasm.
No, I really have liked it. It's been very funny for me.
Oh my goodness. This would be a fun. This would be
sarcastic.
This would be Mad Masquerade Radio Hour.
Oh. See that honking sound when we say clown to an audience? That's what they think's going to happen.
Right. It's the irony.
That's what they think a clown show is.
We should have that horn, though. I think we should do it.
That's a great one.
We should do the horn when the act is over.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm
going to
start doing that.
Not the flashing light. The horn is, it's a good way to end the set.
Yeah, but people will still keep going, I think.
Or are people running your light? Is that what's happening?
Well, I think just clowns in general are not used to having a light. So they're just like, Yeah.
Right. They don't do the stand up. So they don't know.
And I think that's what I think the Idiot's Hour kind of does. It's like kind of like combines that showcase style from the stand up rooms, but with the clowns. But since they're not used to it, they have to be very clear.
They're not used to like a show. Like they're not, a lot of people aren't really performing regularly. And so they're not used to like, you only have the venue for 90 minutes. You have to fucking get off the stage.
Yeah. But everybody's learning. That's what this is for.
Yeah, like, that's great.
To everybody and like palatable to the audience and everything. And like, and I don't know, me and Matthew were talking too. It's like, you know, we'd like to see people like start expanding their work and be able to go longer, you know, and maybe offer a show that does that too. Like something that gives them a bigger time for those that are like starting to move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the old stand-up sets where there was be a 40-minute act, a 20-minute act, and a 10-minute act.
Cool.
Right?
I would love to see that come back because I think that's one thing that, like, New York lacks is, like, the ability to, like, expand your set because you don't really get places that allow you to do long, like a 10, you know?
Right, and I think it hurts because, like, I remember I had a show. Someone didn't show up, so I was like, hey, guys, let's all do 12. Like, let's just talk about people who only perform in New York. By 9 minutes, they weren't used to going over 8 minutes.
Well, and everybody tells me, like, it's because, that's where you tour, so you can do longer time. But I'm like, well, how expensive is this? I have to leave the city so I could do more time? There's got to be a way to do this here, you know, which I found ways, you know, to make it happen. But it's like, it's not easy. It definitely doesn't make it easy to do that because the less people you have.
Well, I mean, I guess that's what New York is about, to make it your own.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you got to make your own path and you got to like, can't look at it and go like, well, I mean, I'm the worst for that because I hear if anybody tells me, well, that's just the way things are. I'm like, guess how it's not going to be anymore. You know, I'm like, no.
Like this shit, right?
You know, so.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
We're going to change the whole fucking scene. That's what's going
to
happen.
Whenever I've tried to go along with what it's supposed to be, that's where I hate life and nothing happens.
Yes.
And I just,
Oh, yeah. You went through all that because I remember Lauren had told me, well, you had told me this too, Matthew. Both of you had told me this separately, but both of you were like going to the open mics and whatever. And then like both of your souls died.
I had a moment where I was crying a lot.
Oh, my God. Sir, wasn't that you too? Both of you had this.
Me too. Oh, crying for sure. I cried through the pandemic to try to like get over the emotional turmoil of fucking open mics. I went back. I was so damaged. I went back to my friend does a, like a 101 like stand-up class at Brooklyn Comedy Collective, Carolyn Casilia. I like went back to her class because I was like, I just feel empty. I don't know what I want to do.
Well, somebody called open mics, which look, I started in improv and stand-up, so I did both for a long time, and now I kind of made this amalgamation into what I do. But like, I can say like, I can go to a mic and, you know, see what it's for, you know, and find mics that are useful, you know. But unfortunately, the majority are just what my friend calls collective misery. You know, we get together so we can all be miserable and that's it. Yeah. And like, nobody's laughing at each other. People are really not paying attention to each other.
They're like mad at each other. It's so weird. It's so unsupporting. It's like, it's basically like barking outside when you're telling everybody about your show and everybody on the street is ignoring you. It's the same outside as it is inside. And it should be different. People should be supporting each other because we're all just starting, except everybody's judging each other because everybody thinks they're better than everybody. But there's no real like levels here, you know? It's like, comedy is different in every different, in my opinion, it's different in every different audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, how do you judge it? You know, it's too much. There's, for one audience, you might get a shitload of laughter. Another audience, they might not understand a single fucking thing you're saying.
Well, I think like at the highest level of it, you know, for me, that's my experience. It's like you are sitting there engaging the room. And able to adjust to the room. And I think that's really the biggest ability to gain, right, for all of us in comedy.
Well, I would say you have that skill because you've done the most amount of shows. You've owned your own venue. You started a whole scene in Miami, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff going on or whatever. You know, like, but it was nice. Yeah, I can say I got to do shows almost every single night, and I got to do multiple shows in a night, and like, with that experience, I guess that's like that 10,000 hours thing. And I think that's like the thing you see with like really great comics is those people that'll just be like, oh, you know, I think actually we talked about it, Lauren, after my show, you know, but like that moment where like I kind of like came in the room and I was like, all right, what is a big laugh in this room? What is their general temperament? Like, I'm just trying to figure out their energy. You know, like I launch, but I'm also very aware of what they're at, you know, and I can't just ignore that. And I think that's the difference with clown too. Like, I think that's why it's such a great movement and what's happening with it, because it's making shows and everybody better, you know, but faster, because we're getting aware of the audience right away instead of just being like, now it's my turn to talk. You know?
Yeah. What is it? Philippe says, like, you know, you just have the eyes of a fascist. You think they have to fucking listen to your words? Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have to listen to your words.
Yeah, sometimes stand-up comedy is like a fascist. You're right.
Well, it can be. I mean, anybody that goes up there and just – I always tell people all the time when they get mad at the audience or whatever, I'm like, you assume with great arrogance that anyone should be paying attention to you. Like, it's a miracle that people sit there and shut up when people go up there. Like, I'm like, when does that happen any other time in your life? No one, you know, I can't just walk in the middle of a park and be like, hello, all. Everyone will be like, yeah, whatever, you know?
Right.
So, you know, yeah, you guys should get everybody's attention a bunch of times in a park, which is incredible. I can't do
that. That's your specialty, Matt.
Well, to be fair, I would just perform for 5 hours straight. And then when people were paying attention, then I would engage, but I would never attract an audience. Eventually an audience would come to me. So I was never good at saying showtime, a show is about to start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt, I wish you were, I knew you when you were upset because I remember you running open mics and you were just so nice. And I came to your open mic a few times.
That was the worst one. I'm not going to name the right. club, but,
the place, yep.
but it was just, I was running that mic and everybody was just an asshole and I'd have the most energy.
Yeah.
And everybody would just be like, "Do you suck?" It was the same thing. I had to get out of there.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Like, I was like, I couldn't believe, like, you guys come to Matt D. Silver's mic and you still act like fucking assholes. Like, he's providing a space for you to try shit and be free. And you're just like,
yeah. And the club was called Dallas BBQ. So, you know, the worst comedy club in the city, Dallas BBQ. Terrible. Don't go there for comedy. They don't like it. They treat us poorly. Whenever we try to perform.
Right. Bad, 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 bad. So September 28th, we have Mad Masquerade at Brooklyn Art House. It's a Saturday. You can get your tickets. You can get a night pass. You get two shows for the sleek price of $30.
Wow.
And yeah, that's pretty darn good, guys.
It's pretty amazing. And if you call this number...
which you can't see.
Lauren, are you going to add the number?
Oh, yes. Oh, if you call, and if you want to submit a story, you just leave a message at 646-WANG-0X1.
Wow. WANG-0X1.
Yes.
Can't wait to call the WANG.
The WANG. All right. Well, thank you, Matthew Silver. And Jeff, one more question. Where can people come find you on the internet?
Go ahead, Matthew.
Silver.Matthew on Instagram and then the Idiot's Hour on Instagram.
Yes. And I am under The Powerful Comedy because I am insane.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll see you guys September 28th.
Okay.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. You can follow the podcast on my page at Lauren Logi. Updates and inside info on my email list, LaurenLogi.com. Thank you to Annie McCutcheon for editing, Edward Silla at Radio Misfits Podcast Network, and Maddie McLennan for making the podcast art. Thanks to our listeners for bringing us back for another season. We'll see you soon.
The preceding was a presentation of the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Find our other great shows on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at RadioMisfits.com. Thank you.
Thank you.